Brocklehurst. I'm the Chief of Water, Environment and Sanitation at UNICEF, which is the section of UNICEF which is concerned, obviously, with water, sanitation, and also hygiene promotion. I don't know how familiar you are with the Millennium Development Goals, but for our section, the primary Millennium Development Goal is actually MDG 7, Target 10, which has to do with water supply and sanitation access. And the MDG, in this case, is to halve the proportion of people who lack access to water and sanitation by 2015. So while that's our primary goal, more and more we are aware of the way in which we are linked to some of the other MDGs, and in particular the health MDGs, and in particular the MDGs that relate to child health. So we're discovering that our section and the kind of work that we do has many linkages to health, HIV/AIDS, and nutrition. Following up on what Eric has just said, the evidence is pretty overwhelming that we find that if we want to reduce diarrheal disease deaths, we definitely have to look at hygiene practices. But we also are looking at the links with acute respiratory infections, with Helminth infections, and particularly with the home-based care for people living with HIV/AIDS. And this is just a very simple diagram that says quite clearly that if you want to combat mortality in under five children, you've got to worry about diarrhea and you've got to worry about pneumonia. So how do we do that? This is a version of the same chart that Eric just showed you, which tells us very clearly that water availability, the second set of bars there, is really, even though it's very important, it's actually... The evidence tells us quite overwhelmingly that it's not as important as sanitation, hygiene promotion, and in particular, hand washing. So what does this mean for UNICEF? What does it mean for an agency that has traditionally done water supply and sanitation programming that is infrastructure-based? We are an agency that has traditionally spent a lot of our energy in installing pumps and pipes and water systems, and in particular in the area of sanitation, in subsidizing the infrastructure of sanitation. So yes, we still do water supply, but increasingly we are looking at other areas, hygiene promotion, home water treatment, and sanitation promotion. And sanitation promotion, this is very important because what we're finding after 20 years of experience is that providing people with the infrastructure of latrines, in fact, does not have much of an impact on whether they use sanitary facilities or not. And more we're realizing that we have to be in the business of promotion, that adopting sanitation is a very personal, household-level decision. We also work a lot on wash in schools. One of the reasons for that is that there's lots of evidence that show that if you want to educate girls, you've got to provide clean, safe, girl-friendly toilets in schools. But in particular, schools give us an opportunity to provide hand-washing education very early on. And of course, a lot of what we do is also wash in emergencies, which water and sanitation emergencies, which is still very much a part of our program. So the evidence base plus the type of costing that Eric just talked about means that we're looking at high-impact, low-cost interventions. More and more that supplement the work that we do in infrastructure. And it means essentially that as an agency we are more and more getting into the business of behavior change. And this is quite a transition for an agency that has been very infrastructure focused. So it means that our staff in the field who are engineers and well drillers are having to learn the ins and outs of behavior change. And this is quite challenging. Use of safe drinking water, teaching people about point-of-use water treatment, use of toilets, and in particular making a shift not so much towards building a certain type of toilet, but abandoning open defecation. And we're more and more using an approach called community-led total sanitation, which mobilizes an entire community to encourage individual households to adopt sanitation so that the entire community becomes open defecation-free. Hand washing with soap and safe disposal of young children's excreta. So, you know, we're starting to develop this type of communication tool. We have Mr. Bubbles. We have a character called Captain Bubbles that we use in Vietnam. And we're finding that our program communications is becoming more and more an important part of our program. So we often talk about the three pillars of what we do. Water and sanitation services, still very much one of the pillars. Behavior change being the other. And then the enabling environments. And more and more we're looking at the kind of advocacy and policy work that we have to do in order to make this work. It's important for things like point-of-use water treatment and sanitation promotion, because these are approaches that require us to work with market-based approaches. So we're often looking for ways to unlock the power of the private sector in a particular country. It's clear to us that when it comes to point-of-use water treatment, we can do promotion, we can do social marketing. UNICEF is not in the position of being able to provide people for free water treatment chemicals at no cost indefinitely. So what are the implications for us then? It means we have to work with government to make sure that the a policy exists that allows home water treatment products to enter the market easily. We have to work with the local private sector. And then we have to work with the behavior change communications to make sure that the social marketing meshes with all of that. I'll just finish up with another example of some of the advocacy that we do. We are preparing a presentation of the evidence on the child health impact of these interventions to the Child Health Epidemiological Reference Group. This is a list of some of the interventions that we're going to be making and the presentations we're going to be making to that group. This is particularly important to us because more and more we're finding that UNICEF is working with these economic impact models, often computer spreadsheet-based models that help determine the cost-effectiveness of given interventions in child survival. And in order to make sure that the evidence base for water and sanitation and hygiene makes it into those models, we're finding that this evidence has to be collated, compiled, and presented to the kind of group such as the CHIRG, which gives it the stamp of approval. Because we want to make sure that these interventions are given their due, that they're respected. We find our health colleagues are often looking at interventions such as vitamin A or breastfeeding promotion or inoculation. And yet, when we look at the cost effectiveness, hand washing with soap, in fact, tops them all. But it hasn't yet had the kind of recognition that it needs. I'll close there, but just before I close, I'll mention that one of the other challenges that I think all of us face is that as an infrastructure section, because of the way we draw the boundaries within our organizations, the water supply and sanitation section within UNICEF, traditionally staffed by engineers, has to learn a whole new language in order to be able to interact effectively with our colleagues in health and nutrition. And likewise, they also have to do the same thing. And this is it's an interesting challenge. I hope it's one that we are going to be able to rise to. But participation in events like this, I think, helps get that bridge those divides between the two parts of the business. Thank you very much. Yes, we face a variety of different challenges in establishing sustainable water supply, particularly the type of thing you're referring to, which is drilling costs in Africa, very, very high cost. one of the other things is that we're finding more and more that groundwater can be a very unreliable resource. UNICEF has traditionally relied very heavily on wells and hand pumps in order to supply populations, but there are certain countries in which that becomes very difficult. This is where point-of-use water treatment in particular becomes quite important because, as Eric said, it can sometimes bridge the gap between the time that you're able to provide a low-cost, sustainable water supply that meets quality requirements. We need to have a stopgap arrangement sometimes in some countries because of the overwhelming cost of providing supplies and the time that it often takes to establish them. You've got to remember too that at UNICEF we take a community-based approach, so we don't put in water supplies unless we have actually organized the community in such a way that they can sustain those water supplies over the long term, which is also sometimes very difficult to do. So there's a multitude of challenges in establishing water supply. And I think we need to look more and more to things like point-of-use water treatment to supplement what we have in our arsenal in terms of making sure people have safe water. I think to supplement that, I certainly wouldn't want anybody to go away thinking that water quality was more important than quantity, because, you know, maybe it depends what indicators you're looking at. Okay, maybe if you're looking at childhood diarrhea, water quality will have a big impact. But certainly water quantity has so many other benefits, and particularly if you look at, you know, bringing water close to home in order to reduce drudgery of women for gender equity reasons, then, you know, these are still very important things. Right. So I think you have to interpret those results very, very carefully.
And the West, like economics, you think that quantity would be more important than quality.
I think it depends how you do your calculations. We can debate that afterwards.
Thank you.
WWF works very closely with governments, and one of the challenges we face is that the water and sanitation sector is usually fragmented, in the sense that the water supply side of the business is usually with a Ministry of Water, or sometimes even a Ministry of Mines or something like that. And then sanitation sits rather uncomfortably in the Ministry of Health. And it's very difficult to get the Ministry of Health interested in things like sanitation promotion. Ministries of Health in developing countries tend to be very curative, intervention focused. So I think this is one of our major challenges. It's hard enough to talk to engineers about sanitation promotion. It's actually even harder to talk to doctors about